It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Wednesday Homer Hour. Rain Man is first, 1-800-990-3776. Caller number 5, you automatically, if you're number 5, 1-800-990-3776, win a $25 gift card from Cousin Subs. Used to be you had to do so well, but nope, now you can get an offer. You can go 0-15 and you still get the $25 gift card. That's how nice they are at Cousin Subs. If, on the other hand, you win the competition, which will be going until the end of the year, every Wednesday, most every Wednesday, if you're the champion, you win Cousin Subs for a year, which is worth about $300. So Cousin Subs, a great sponsor. 1-800-990-3776. Again, you need to be caller number 5, and Pebble will be taking those calls. 1-800-990-3776. Caller number 5, Jason Woolley will follow that, the Packers with training camp, and then Tim Van Voren, who I suspect is probably also in Green Bay, and they are doing training camp of, I would say they're both at least 30 years of covering training camp, but we'll get the exact number. So Rain Man, brought to you by Cousin Subs, again the winner of the contest, Cousin Subs for a year, worth over $300, and our other great partner for Rain Man is Saganiac Planning. Used to be a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service, but I was selling them short because it should be Saganiac Planning, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service, and doing it well for over 50 years. Even I haven't been doing this for 50 years. I started in 80, so that's 45. Saganiac Planning's been in it longer than I've been in radio. So, yes, Saganiac Planning, appropriately, a name synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service because they've been doing it so long. They were good the first year. Imagine how good they are now after over 50 years. And Saganiac Planning, a phone number you can remember. All you got to remember is 783. Saganiac Planning, 262-783. Roger Maris, 6161.
That number again, 262-783-6161.
Greg in Franklin is our competitor. I don't really care anything about Greg other than his Rain Man resume. Greg, good evening. What have you done in this competition to give everybody an idea of how well you might do tonight?
Really nothing. I just called in.
Have you ever done Rain Man before?
I have not.
Have you listened to Rain Man in the past?
Yes.
Okay, Pebble, say whatever you want to Greg, understanding that for both of us, whenever we tell people something, they almost never listen.
Well, you got 2 minutes, Greg, to get through all 15 questions that Homer's going to give to you. If you don't know the answer, say skip or pass, and they'll come back to the question for you. You don't want to run out of time. You want to get through all 15 questions within the two-minute time frame.
And the first question, in honor of Saganiac Planning being such a great supporter of Marquette, it is always a Marquette question. Question one, we call the Saganiac Planning Marquette question. So, only that question. Got to make sure here. All right. I got it. I had to make sure I had 15 questions. It'd be terrible if there were only 14. You ready to go?
Go.
The first question is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question. 3, 2, 1, go. The only Marquette player to score 40 points and a half.
Marcus.
I think I'd give it credit. Only NBA player to score 100 points in a game.
Kareem.
Incorrect. Bill Russell with 11 NBA titles. How many years did he play?
16.
Incorrect. 1984-85. He averaged 32.9 points per game for the New York Knicks, 84-85.
Pass.
John Anderson's best high jump is
6'9".
Incorrect. What Brewer play was a bigger college star at Cal than Aaron Rodgers?
Repeat.
What Brewer player was a bigger college star at Cal than Aaron Rodgers?
J.J. Hardy.
Incorrect. Where did Bucks Miles Turner play college basketball?
Louisville.
Incorrect. 1979-80. He averaged 33 points per game for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
The Admiral.
Incorrect. 2010, the year the Packers won their last Super Bowl, he led the Packers 703 yards rushing.
Yes. Pass.
A record for the most goals scored by a player in an NHL game.
6.
Incorrect. How many times did Wayne Gretzky score 5 or more goals in an NHL game? 2, 4, or 7 times?
7.
Incorrect. 1970, he scored 69 points in an NCAA men's basketball game.
Pass.
High school girls basketball, 1982. She scored 105 points, 46 of 50 shooting.
Not a clue.
1932, this Yankee with 4 home runs in a game, not Babe Ruth.
Pass.
And how old am I?
61.
Incorrect. Pebble, I think we technically have one, though I'm being nice.
Technically, it's a half.
It's a half because he only said Marcus. So now I will make you. Can you tell me his entire
Howard.
Name? Excuse me?
Marcus Howard.
That is correct. We do not have our second offer. So, Greg, if you don't know, just pass. And you get to go through all of them. All right, let's see how many Pebble got. We got one. Only NBA player to score 100 points in a game.
Will Chamberlain?
Correct. Bill Russell with 11 NBA titles. How many years did he play?
13.
13. 1984-85, he averaged 32.9 points per game for the New York Knicks.
Bernard King?
Correct. John, and this one really hurts because it means you just don't listen to the show enough, Greg. John Anderson's best high jump.
7'2.5".
How many times have I said that? Are we at 100?
So
yeah. What Brewer player was a bigger college star at Cal than Aaron Rodgers?
Andrew Vaughn?
Yes, he was... College Baseball Player of the Year at Cal and Rodgers.
Number 3 overall pick.
Yep. Where did Bucks Miles Turner play college basketball?
Texas.
Correct. 79-80, 33 points per game for the San Antonio Spurs.
George Gervin?
Correct. This 2010, people forget, the year the Packers won the Super Bowl. He led the Packers 703 yards rushing.
Brandon Jackson.
That is correct. Record for most goals scored by a player in an NHL game. How many?
7?
7 is correct. How many times did Wayne Gretzky score 5 or more goals in an NHL game? 2, 4, or 7 times?
4.
4 is correct. 1970, he scored 69 points in an NCAA men's basketball game.
Pistol Pete?
Pistol Pete Maravich. Pebble hasn't missed one. Let's see if he gets this one. High school girls basketball, 1982. She scored 105 points in one game. 46 of 50 shooting. I can't believe there was another team on the field.
Reggie Miller's sister?
Yep. Cheryl Miller is correct. Yep. 1932, the Yankee with 4 home runs in a game, not Babe Ruth.
Gehrig, I don't know.
Lou Gehrig is correct.
Is it? Okay. All right.
Yes. And how old am I?
70.
I wish I was 61. Now, Greg, that was poor, not the worst, but you still win the $25 gift card from Cousin Subs, and you know why?
Why?
Because they didn't listen to me. I wanted to have, like, you got to get at least three right, or we'll give you, like, a package of Milk Duds or something, but not 20. And they go, nope. Anybody who gets in gets 25. So enjoy it, and I'm pretty comfortable with you doing better the next time. Especially if you don't know and you just pass. Thanks, Greg. Pebble, I'll get to him in a second. Of all the ones that you need to remember.
7.5. You don't listen to the show.
I'm sure somebody will. I think I've said it 100 times.
You see it at least 100 times every time John Anderson's on the show.
That's true. But yes, high school girls basketball, 1982. She scored 105 points, 46 of 50 shooting.
That's the only person I could think of that was actually a very good girls player back then.
I don't know how somebody said, but I'm still convinced she could still quite possibly be the greatest female basketball player ever. But I would have to defer to the Institute.
Cheryl Swoops is in there, I think, too.
Yes. I mean, it's easy. And the difference is back then. There weren't as many good players, so she was 46.
One of one, yeah.
46 of 50? 40. And I don't have the tape of the game, but I can't believe they were all layups. So other than that, the good one is Brandon Jackson, the player no one remembers from winning the Super Bowl, and Andrew Vaughn, and that's my biggest concern for the offense of the Brewers is can Vaughn continue to hit as he has with the Brewers, because for the White Sox, he was literally Tony Mandrich. Arguably, as they would look at it, the worst number three draft choice in the history of the Chicago White Sox. Somebody else can do more work. I don't care enough about him to judge it with all the other third overall pick. That might be the hardest trivia question ever. I'd have to check to see if the Brewers ever had another number three pick from Prince Fielder or Ryan Braun. I don't think anybody was three other than Paul Molitor, Robin Yount, and Andrew Vaughn. And if I ever see Robin Yount, my first question will be, so have you watched Vaughn play? Does he remind you? In what way does he remind you of your play?
Apparently, I just Google search the worst number 03 overall pick in Major League Baseball draft history is widely considered to be Josh Vitters, who was drafted by the Cubs in 2007. 109 games for the Cubs, posted a career batting average of .208.
Wow. But he did get into 109 games.
Correct.
All right. So Andrew Vaughn, and yes, at Cal, the College Baseball Player of the Year, an award that Aaron Rodgers never won as the College Football Player of the Year. So, in college, Andrew Vaughn was a more dominant player than Aaron Rodgers. Just a little tidbit to add. Jason Wilde, next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Training camp and Jason Wilde. Nice combo. Everybody should get information on the Packers every day of the year, especially when training camp starts. Good afternoon, Jason. What number of training camp is this? I said it's got to be around 30.
Yeah, so I started, it's my 30th season, but I started in October of 96. So it's my 29th. Training camp and I'm a vested, you know, I did enough games in 1996 when they went to the Super Bowl and won it that I get credit for that season. So 30th season, 29th training camp.
How much different is training camp now?
Oh.
I believe the craziest training camps were Forrest Gregg, but I don't know if that was true.
Yeah, no, that predates me, but I can tell you this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was Forrest Gregg was before 96. Good point.
So my first year, was Holmgren's 5th year. So I had Holmgren for 3 years. I had Ray Rhodes for one. I had Mike Sherman. Then I had McCarthy for nearly 13 years. And now This is LaFleur's seventh year. So, you know, when Tausch was a rookie in 2000, the Packers, actually, I looked it up a couple of years ago because I like to bring this up every year at the first day of practice. They had 51 practices. 51. Open to fans. That's not even counting, like, jog-throughs before.
All of them were open?
All 51 of those, yeah. There were special teams-only practices. Now, you know, in, like, 2000, I was a young single guy, didn't have kids. So I never missed a practice. Like, I was there because I was always very paranoid that I was going to miss something. And so I was always there. And that was an incredible workload for those guys. Tausch was telling the story this morning, you know, because the other part of that is if they would start, and I don't mean to sound Old Testament-y because I'm starting to sound like you, and we can tell stories about what it was like to watch Don Hutson play. But I do think that it was stupid that they had guys doing two-a-day fully padded practices right out of the chute. I think that's just there's certainly a value in, you know, building up that callus and getting in shape and all the other stuff that was happening in those days. But that's like begging for injuries to happen. So what they do now is, I think, an overcorrection, in my opinion, where it's now three practices that are basically the same as the off-season practices, a little more higher tempo, a little closer to full speed today, I would say, compared to what I watched during the off-season. But then they get a day off, which was unheard of back then. And then it's the first padded practice on Sunday. So that's a lot different than, you know, Holmgren in my first camp or Sherman. But again, I think you use whatever time is allotted to you. And somebody asked Matt LaFleur that if there were no rules, would he want more practice time? And I thought it was interesting that he said, no, I would want more time with the, I know, right? I know.
That's crazy.
He said, he's a new age coach, man. He basically said, we know what he is.
It's new age isn't a thought that comes to mind.
Yeah, I think they play the clip on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy where I say, Homer thinks that Matt LaFleur is soft. Compared to me, Matt LaFleur is Vince Lombardi.
I have changed that. I believe he thinks the importance is smarts.
Yeah, and I think I think it's true. I think he's right about that. I do think somewhere in between what they have now and what they had then would be optimal. But again, these are the rules. You have to abide by them. Today, you know, we saw Matthew Golden with a great touchdown catch from Malik Willis. Saw Mecole Hardman have a really nice touchdown catch. There are moments where, you know, you kind of grab your attention, but you have to take those, not necessarily with a grain of salt, but certainly keep them in perspective of, hey, this ain't real football. And while when they put pads on in practice, that still ain't real football. They're not being tackled to the ground. If you throw a ball over the middle, you're not going to get decapitated or hit really hard to jar the ball loose. So, but it's closer. It's a closer approximation. So today, it's really just kind of, it's more than dipping your toe in the water. The way that Natty and Sid would make fun of me for this, but whenever I get into a pool, I slowly get in and you can hear me making wimpy noises about how cool, oh, it's cold. So this is what they're doing. They're going in and they're probably up to their thighs right now. Tomorrow, they'll go a little farther up to their chest. Friday, they'll be up to their neck, and then they'll get a day off because they'll have worked so hard, and then they'll cannonball into the pool on Sunday.
And this is all the result of the union agreement with teams, right?
It is, and it's the result of, I mean, look, the NFL.
I mean, I wanted to make it clear that this exists not because of the teams, but
no,
other than LaFleur,
not.
I think they would love it. This is what they give the players as an alternative to more money, I guess. I don't.
Correct. You laugh, but you're a 1,000,000% right, Homer. And, you know, again, I have been critical of the NFLPA many times. I've been critical of the league. I've been critical of this organization from time to time as well. But I'll never understand the thought process of the NFLPA because, and I know better than to swear on the radio, but who gives a blank about less practice time in the off season?
Unless they have studies that say you players get hurt less. I mean,
no,
that makes them and to extend their career longer because that's,
right, but here's the flip side of that. Yes. In terms of extending your career longer, what are you doing to extend the careers of young players who need that development to become better players to stay employed.
Yeah.
Right? That's the flip side of it. So my issue is, you know, and look, I understand the thought process behind it, but I would argue that the NFLPA's job, which they clearly forgot by choosing the guy they had running them for the last year and a half, but their job is to not only take care of their players while they're playing, but you remain an NFL. Tausch is still an NFLPA member. He's an alumni. And you have to take care of your players when they're not playing, too. And so instead of, oh, I want more time off in the offseason, because, look, what they do in the offseason here, I don't think you're going to – yes, there's going to be the occasional, oh, my God, he tore his Achilles for no, you know, non-contact, just jogging or whatever. But what they do here is not taxing. It would not, I don't think, increase injuries. I'm sure because these guys still have to work out on their own. So that they want time off. They want lighter practices, et cetera. What they should want is health care for a longer period of time. What they should want is – better safety innovations to improve their chances of getting fewer concussions. Like they should want more of the pie of a third. I mean, we just saw this today because we went to the myself and several other beat writers and some of the TV folks went to the financial conversation with Mark Murphy, and
he did a great Packers, job. Big time bucks, right?
He did, but the league, so their revenue from revenue sharing, so their 1/32nd of the national revenue was $432 million, which means that the national revenue that is divided up among the 32 teams was $13.8 billion with a B dollars. If you're running the NFLPA, and you got a 31 billionaires and the Packers making that kind of money, do a better job of getting more financially for your members of the NFLPA. And look, they make all this money. You know, they do have some concerns about, and I think they're valid, about the inclusion now of investment, private equity investment. Like if your valuation is $6.5 billion for your team, and you're allowed to sell up to 10% to private equity, that means you can raise $650 million like that. I think that concerns them. There's no doubt about it, but there's still safeguards in place, including the salary cap and the revenue sharing. To me though, when I look at the big picture of the kind of money they're pulling in, you know, it's hard for you to argue if you're a member of the NFLPA, we shouldn't get a bigger chunk of that, or we should, even if you don't revenue share, you should take a portion of your share that we're not getting and give longer term health care and all the other retirement benefits that these guys should have. I'm not asking anybody who, you know, like my grandma used to say, I'm not talking about guys that work at Alice Chalmers or Harnischweger back in the day. Like those guys worked their asses off. And they didn't make the kind of money NFL players are. But when you're talking about $13.8 billion, any union should want to do right by its members to make sure they're getting the biggest piece of that pie that they can on their behalf.
And everybody has said this for years. I don't know. Have you had discussions with members of the union in positions to make decisions? And I'm assuming the actions say they believe they're best serving their players by getting as much money as they can as quickly as they can.
Yeah, I have had those conversations with people that are
Trotter ended up being a big shot.
Yeah, and quite frankly, it doesn't appear to be a very good one based on how things have played out. But like, and look, I had this conversation with Rodgers.
What did he say?
He's a really smart guy.
Yes.
Now, again, he's in a different tax bracket than as Lee Rumble used to call them, the longtime PR director, Ham and Eggers, who are just trying to make it in the league. So
yeah, those guys are making so much money. It seems to me they would be more understanding of everybody.
Yeah. So the minimum salary, I believe now, is $840,000
okay.
a year.
That's good.
But yeah, it's great. And if you, but the average career is less than 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, take whatever half of the, for easy math, take half of that in taxes, multiply it by three. And now that's it. That's all you get from your NFL career. And again, it's great money, certainly more money than we make. At the same time, what would be smart, and this was Aaron's point, is that, look, I know this is going to be hard, but the only way we're going to get them to give us what we want, and they're going to have another opportunity. I was talking about it with Murphy just 2 hours ago. They're going to go to 18-2. They're going to go to 18 regular season, 2 preseason. It's a question of when. And so if I'm the NFLPA, I want to, that is a big carrot for the league. So I want better health care for my players after their careers are over. I want a bigger piece of the pie.
And I want 2 bye weeks.
Right. And the problem that Aaron talked about when we had this conversation years ago is that, you know, guys aren't willing to plan ahead and say, all right, I'm not going to buy this car. I'm going to, you know, do my own grocery shopping, whatever it is. And I want to put away money that if we do, in fact, strike, and I have to go a couple weeks without my NFL paycheck, that's the only way you're going to hit billionaires, because then there's not going to be games. And they are relying on the TV deals for that $13.8 billion we're talking about. So Aaron's point was always, look, I know this is hard, but save up your money so you can survive for a few weeks if we go on strike, so we can get what you really deserve and what you really need long term. Because ask Tausch, he's got a bunch of former teammates that could really use, I mean, talk to Don Majkowski, who played in an even earlier era,
yeah,
where they got
mess.
Even less. Physically, he is a mess. And that, what players don't grasp is that someday that's going to be them. And they don't think that way.
Yeah.
And that's their mistake.
I'm not a part of it, but I've always wondered why you couldn't work into where you could buy into more health insurance at a great rate.
Right, sure. So this, that would even be better.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
totally
you
agree.
Let people decide, but give them a price that's so great that most would take part of it. Because, yeah, it's just depressing to go to an NFL alumni golf outing when you look at
right.
this people.
And again, I do think it, you know, I don't want to sound tone deaf, because a lot of people that listen to our shows and work hard for their livings make a hell of a lot less than these guys. I'm not saying we need to have a telethon for NFL players, but at the same time, the people in that union who were so derelict in their duty to hire someone who had a conflict of interest and all the other issues. I mean, reading that story today, like, he wanted to change his park. He wanted to have 2 parking spots so his Porsche wouldn't get dinged, and he wanted to change it to the parking spot to number 32 in honor of O.J. Simpson. Like, vet your candidates, man. But a group that was willing to live with all that tells you that they don't take that part of this seriously. And I know they've got a lot on their plates. They're trying to learn playbooks. They're trying to succeed in this league. They want to stay as long as they can. But you got to. I just wish I could grab some of those guys and say, look, man, this is going to be over before you know it. And then you're going to have to go out and get a real job and get real insurance. You're going to be like all the rest of us, except you're going to be able to tell really cool stories about the 3 years you spent in the league.
Lastly, as Brian Bulaga has stated, what are the dates and the teams when they have the 2-team workouts? And he said that's pretty much the entire training camp that everybody should be focusing best on.
Yeah, the doc is a smart guy. There's no two ways about that. So I would never go against him. I would argue slightly against him and just say that I do think the padded practices matter. Yeah. What we saw today doesn't matter.
Who's coming in or where are they going?
So they play at Indianapolis on Saturday, August 16th. They're going to have a joint practice in Indianapolis on August 14th with the Colts. And then they play at home on Saturday, August 23rd against the Seahawks. They will have a joint practice with the Seahawks on August 21st, that Thursday.
So those are the only 2 ones.
Joint practices. Yeah, and then they've got family night on August 2nd.
Yeah,
fine. But those are kind of the mileposts.
Okay, and it's too early to say anything, but do you say, all right, I got to watch this, or I mean, I didn't even bring up the Jenkins in the back. He's going to be in the starting lineup.
But I'll say this: Goody did not sound like he was inclined to improve his contract.
That would be consistent, and I agree with you. I understand their approach. This is different. You have an out because you're asking him to change position where you can do something a little bit different, and none of the other players can say, "Hey, why'd you do it this time?" Well, hey, we asked him to change positions. You just don't do that very often. So it's not like it's going to keep coming up.
Yeah. I converted you several weeks ago. It's great to have you still arguing on my behalf, Homer.
Yeah, on principle, I don't agree. I mean, I get it, but I just think we've discussed it. And I want to emphasize, he's going to be in the starting lineup. And I expect him to be the center, but if not, he will be one of the five starters for the Green Bay Packers. You want to join that club?
Yeah, he just won't be as happy as he could be if they just took care of him.
Yep. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Tim Van Vorn, not next, but soon.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
When I made my little chat on KBN and talked about Tom Hamilton, who I followed at WHBY in Appleton back in 1983, I think it was. I didn't know. I knew he's from Wisconsin. But like Mark Tauscher, Tom Hamilton grew up on a dairy farm. I think it's Waterloo, Wisconsin. I'm not sure. We'll have to find out which dairy farm was bigger. But he will be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this weekend. He's been the voice of the Indians since 1990. And hard to believe there's ever been anybody from the radio side in which everybody likes him and all the great things they say about him. I met him a few times, and my short interaction with him was, that would fit exactly how he was. Nice to everybody. Tim Van Vorn with his thoughts on training camp coming up, but I want to mention Fisco Autobody, so you'll take advantage of how great they are, and then you'll thank me, and then you'll like me a little bit more, maybe. But the part about being good is just so easy because Fisco Autobody is a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do, it's who they are. Yes, it's in the family, and the family's still doing all the stuff. So imagine in a family business, Autobody, how early you start doing the stuff, and how good you are by the time you've been doing it to where people come in and you do their stuff. That's how they're so good. Fisco Autobody on Forest Home in Franklin. On Forest Home in Franklin. Don't give the address often enough. Wherever you are, it's worth the time. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle because they're so good at fixing it. On Forest Home in Franklin, Fisco, 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 so you remember the name. Tim Van Vorn next.
The three most important letters in sports. Better than those.
TVB.
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 It's Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Vorn on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, Hall of Fame wingman, and he's won other awards. He just won't tell us what they are, and so I've got to keep searching. Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports TVB. Good afternoon.
Homer, good afternoon. Before we get into anything, it's a big day, as you know, here in Green Bay. But personally, I'd just like to mention an aside that as I was walking from the practice field back up to the stadium, I saw Alex Stroh hanging out at one of the houses there. So there you go. Alex Stroh sighting Green Bay training camp day one.
Nicely done. Yep. What training camp is this for you? 30 whatever? How many have you done?
Yeah, 30 plus. 1991 would have been my first. I wasn't here for training camp in 1990, so 1991.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you get Forrest Gregg at all? Was he in there or not?
I had Forrest Gregg previous to that with some radio opportunities to talk to him on Monday mornings after a loss.
Yeah, just ask because I think his training camp was the hardest ever.
It was Lindy Infante when I first arrived.
Oh, yes. Greatest coach ever in Packer history, according to a poll in Green Bay. Did you ever check the accuracy of that? Do you think that actually?
It's skewed. There's a little recency bias for that poll.
Okay. He did have one good year. They went 10-6. All right, let's get to this season. I could talk about the Brewers, but I thought the manager said it best about anything. It's July 23rd. Perfectly stated.
Part of the reason they're so good is because that is the manager's attitude. He reminds those guys of that sort of thing. That's his perspective every day. I think Pat Murphy has proven to be just the right tonic for this ball club.
Am I accurate? Tony Smith says I make stuff up. I believe that it wasn't necessarily going to be Murphy as the manager of the Brewers, but when Attanasio heard that Craig Counsell was going to hire him again as assistant with Chicago, Attanasio said, "You hire Murphy as our manager today."
I could see that scenario. I mean, I think, you know, I'd also say whether this is a corollary or who knows what exactly transpired. You know, Murphy in his mid-60s is going to get the job until Ricky Weeks is ready.
Correct.
You know, by now Murphy doesn't show any signs of you know, not being on that job for as long as he wants to be right now.
So do your research, because every time I say that, you don't know if that's true. You just made that up, and I go, I don't know. I don't. My the premise is that Murphy was not the candidate until Attanasio or someone heard that he was going to go work with Counsell with the Cubs. Because I always tell everybody the weird part with the Brewers, the guy who's the manager was brought in by the manager who left. The guy who's the GM was brought in by the GM who left. And the greatness of the team is the result of not only the two here, but the two that left and who they brought in.
You script a good story. You're AI before AI, Homer.
Well, okay, if you say so. All right, now to the Packers. Take it away. Say whatever you want. Talk about whatever you want. This is the first day of the Tim Van Vorn Scouting Bureau, which I love to promote. Your ability, and a very good one, at noticing players. You never pick the most obvious, which makes it even better. Mine is only that if Cooper is not a Pro Bowl and or second team All-Pro, I will be disappointed. That's the level where I have placed him.
I know you're a major backer, and obviously the Packers defensively are counting on him to be a major linebacker and an impact player at that position. I would agree with you that he should project in that range, and if he plays to that range, their defense should be very good along with it. I'll give you a name that I don't think has gotten much run at all. I mean, I'm not saying from today. I'm just saying in general. And that's Kingsley Enagbare. You know, there's all this talk, is Rashawn Gary going to pop up the sack numbers this year? Is Lucas Van Ness going to do more? I'll give you Kingsley Enagbare, who I think is a pretty productive edge rusher. And I'm going to guess he's a bigger player and a guy who's getting more discussion as the season goes along.
Well, I
want to
ask
you
as a follow-up. I've always wondered why he didn't play more, because he's always looked pretty good and put up numbers. Mm-hmm. So address that. What are his weaknesses that have prevented him from getting more playing time, given the numbers that show up?
I don't know that I'd say weaknesses, but I think he's had some conditioning concerns, and he's had some health concerns. And they remember when Aaron Jones used to be on kind of a snap count, a usage count when he was a running back here early in his career? I think it was a little bit of that with Enagbare, to be honest with you. And maybe that'll continue to be true. I'm looking for him to push for more playing time. You know, Preston Smith is out of that mix. This year, maybe one of these young guys, Baron Sorrell or Colin Oliver, comes on, but I don't know. You know, maybe Brenton Cox or Aaron Mosby, you know, steps it up from last year. But I'm saying the sleeper in that group is Enagbare.
What about your guy, Hopper? Isn't that the guy?
Hopper? Yep.
Yeah, Tyron.
I remain interested in Tyron Hopper. Absolutely. I know I talked him up last year. Barely played, certainly from scrimmage. I'm going to guess you hear his name certainly throughout the preseason.
What are his
skills?
He's the kind
of guy, run defense. He's a plugger. He's, you know, I don't know where he is on pass, you know, defense. I don't know if he can be exploited. Maybe that's why he doesn't play as much from scrimmage. I don't have any idea on that. And I'm assuming that was part of it last year. We'll have to see this year. But you want a guy who you know, plays forward. He's coming forward. That's Tyron Hopper.
All right, Marshawn Lloyd, the name has been brought up, the running back. I guess I just I just worry that he's always hurt. I don't even know if I'm accurate that he's always been hurt in the past, but he has a wow factor in terms of those who talk about him.
Well, he has a wow factor if he's healthy. You know, Brian Gutekunst was asked specifically today about him. He said you can't get better in the NFL unless you're out there on the practice field. And Gutekunst made a point of saying that Lloyd has done everything possible to get himself healthy, to keep himself on the field, and it's great to hear that stuff. This isn't some malingerer. This isn't some guy who's trying to, you know, shirk away from practice during the week and show up and play the games on Sunday. However, his availability has been severely in question, and for me, you know, I'm not committing to Marshawn Lloyd over Emmanuel Wilson, for instance, and running Emmanuel Wilson out of there until or unless Lloyd proves that he's going to be a durable, reliable option. Even if he is a wow factor guy, I don't think Josh Jacobs should carry the same load that he did last year. Maybe he's capable of it, but I would like to see more diversification there. I thought Wilson was just fine as a number two running back last year. So to me, Lloyd has nothing handed to him. He has to prove that he's healthy and then show what he can offer.
And he hasn't proven to you yet that he can stay healthy. And until he does, you'll say exactly what you're saying today.
That's where I would be on it. You okay. know, again, they have we've talked about this before, Homer, though. A first-round draft choice from last year who barely played, and two third-round draft choices, Lloyd and Hopper. Yeah. If these three guys play to their billing, what kind of an advantage or an addition would that be to a football team? You're talking about three top 100 players who've barely scratched the surface with so far. But I'm not sure they have roles this year. And I'm not sure Anthony Belton has a role this year. Then you'd have a first-round pick and a second-round pick offensive lineman who aren't even in your front-line rotation. Maybe I'll be proven wrong on that, but that's wild to me.
But I would say to you, you follow this, it's almost inevitable that everybody isn't good. You got Edrin Cooper, who's part of that group at 45, Evan Williams at 111. When you have some people that stand out, I just assume some of the others won't. Find me a draft where, like, the top five guys kicked butt, all of them. But
I agree.
Maybe there is one. But
And throw in Bullard. I mean, Bullard played a lot last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So he's in that group, too. Yeah, so I'm just saying on paper, somebody liked these three guys enough to pick them where they did. If, whether it was injury or whatever, if they can give you more than you're anticipating or the average fan is anticipating this year, that would be an enormous shot in the air.
And would help the Packers be as good as they need to be, I think, to win the division. Everybody used to talk about it, but you see what problems you create by not being the best in the division, which the Packers were for so many years, maybe we took for granted. All right, whatever
and
you want
Homer,
to say.
On that note, I legitimately think any of the four teams in this division could finish in any of the four places.
No,
in this
the
division.
Bears can't be first. Come on.
I don't believe that. They have the fourth place schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't pick the Bears. I would pick the Bears below the other teams. But I do not think it's inconceivable that they could find themselves with this winning record. You just don't know. To me, it's never been that way. The Packers used to get five wins in the division every year. Boom.
Yeah.
You're right. Home field advantage. Overall, you're playing for the top seed right away because you had such a boost. That's how the Patriots won all those games. They dominated their division. Then you're always playing for home field.
Yep.
That's the challenge this year in the NFC North.
And I think that, to me, it's 90% is dealing with Detroit. I didn't ask you about Elgton Jenkins. Tell me what you want to say. He's going to be in the starting lineup. He's going to be one of the five offensive linemen. And take it from there, TVB. What, he's got a back?
As often, Homer, I think you're right. I just think the question is, how happy will he be?
I don't know. You answer that. So you think he will end up at center?
I do. I don't think it matters necessarily. I think he'll play. But will he be playing because he's been rewarded and feels secure? Or will he be playing with a chip on his shoulder? Either way, I think he's the starting center on this offensive line.
I mean,
he's playing a little game. There's a little game of chicken here. If Sean Ryan or somebody else or Jacob Monk is awesome in camp, that raises an eyebrow.
Well, if I'm Elgton Jenkins, then fine. I go back to guard. Ain't no way I'm not one of the best five, right?
Well, you're not going back to left guard because they signed Banks.
Right, so you go to right guard. He's better than anybody they got at right guard.
According are you flopping Ryan at center?
I mean,
what are you doing there?
I don't know, but I know this. Jenkins is in the starting lineup. You want to join that club?
I'm with you. Yep. Happy right. Card-carrying member.
Yeah, we'll discuss how happy he is and stuff like that. We'll get to that. They always say you got to have your best five, and he's one of the best five. You, if the Tim Van Voren scouting bureau, can decide where to play him. Where do you want to play him? TVV, where do you want to play Elgton Jenkins?
I think he's probably your center with Morgan and Belton and these other guys pushing for playing time across the line.
You know, my answer is, I don't care. TVV, anything you want to leave us with? Any gem?
Tornado warnings rolling into Green Bay, so, you know, you get it all on the first day of camp.
Wow, thanks. Tim Van Voren, Fox 6 Sports. Analysis is next.